Blog Talk Radio.
Devotion should come understanding. And how do you get that understanding? Well, reading and studying never helped. I never stopped anything. And most occasions, help you in everything. And so that's what we're about to get into our reading and study. But before we get started, I want to thank my fellow host, Cartrell from New York City. But also I'd like to make mention that the district attorney in Kentucky, come to find out by a person on the jury, that the case he presented had nothing to do with what he said he presented. As if to say, he made no presentation in regards to the killing of Breonna Taylor. It implies, infers, and suggests that the presentation he made was only in regards to the shooting into the apartment of a white person in the complex. Well, as I said, this should be expected. Don't get upset. Don't get irate. Don't get confused. Because if you do, I suspect you don't understand your environment. And you're not cognizant of your environment. Because if you understand your environment, that you're in a prison industrial complex, universally speaking, all day they put us into confinement often, that you are captives, and you can expect anything from your captors. And don't be too hard on a district attorney. He's just like people we had before. Remember when the master's house used to burn down? Some of the slaves used to run around with fire buckets and say, "Ah, house is burning. Ah, house is burning." Well, as you know, it wasn't his house or her house, but that's the affinity they had with their captors. And certainly in the case of the DA, it is the same affinity he had with our captors. As house is burning, master, what we gonna do? So don't be surprised. But let us get busy in our studies, okay? Let me bring Cartrell along before we get started right quick. And may the Most High bless you, Cartrell. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yom Safari.
Shalom, brother. Bless you. Thank you very much, brother.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you want to say stuff. I'm listening. Yeah.
It's amazing that things haven't changed from the days it was on plantation until now.
Exactly, bro. More the same. Just in refined. It's quite refined now, Cartrell. You don't have these physical and hindrance and physical incarceration, but you have these mental hindrance in incarceration. See the same thing.
So these police officers can be judge, jury, and executioner.
And they are. They yeah. are, Cartrell. I mean, if you don't understand the origin of the patty rollers, whom used to run us down and keep us in line for the plantations, well, you don't understand the concept of police officers, now do you? Truth be told.
You know what I mean? Breonna Taylor was a uniformed officer. She wasn't a police officer. Mm-hmm. She was an emergency service officer.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So that doesn't make no difference.
She's an emergency service officer and they don't value her life.
They don't
she
make
wasn't
no difference.
Even in the indictment.
Well, you can ask
against the police officers.
Well, you can ask Bill Cosby about that. You can ask O.J. Simpson about that. You can ask Michael Jackson if he was alive about that. So you can ask James Brown about that. You know, there's a whole lot of our brothers and sisters about that, brother. Just because you got a little money in your pocket, don't think for a second things changing for you too much. Other than your prison condition are improved, you become a trustee, and you eat a little better, and your clothing become a little neater, and your health care come a little better, but you're still in the same confinement situation.
So let's talk about the real criminal.
Exactly. You know about him. Yeah, you know
he's
about
supposed
him.
To be a billionaire.
Yep.
And he ain't paid taxes in 10 years.
$750.
And the last 2 years, he only paid $750 in 2016 and $750 in 2017.
Bruh, I paid hundreds of dollars when I was in the workforce. I mean, I paid hundreds of dollars. And that's an insult. This man paid less than I paid. And made more than I ever made. That's an insult. But
so
I can see he's right.
America's a game of Monopoly.
True. If you got
what?
It, you get it.
They control the board.
Right.
And we just rolling the dice, running around the board, trying to stay out of jail.
Right. And that's what I said.
Because we ain't got no property.
Yeah. We run around the board. Right.
We ain't running the banks. We ain't got no utility companies. We
no
just
health
trying to...
company, no education company. No. They tell you about sex. They tell you about war. They tell you about education. They tell you about health. They tell you about everything. They control the whole board.
So imagine if Barack Obama was doing what Donald Trump's doing now.
Oh, he wouldn't have had a chance, bro.
Come on, man.
I don't think he would have made it out of office. Let's be honest. He would have made it out of office, Contra. And you and I.
They probably would have hung him on a White House tree.
Man, probably. You already knew. Ain't no problem to it, Contra.
Okay? No problem to it. They would have hung that brother on the front lawn. And he
you
would
already
anything
know.
Like Donald Trump.
Well, see, they wanted him to push the agenda as the alphabet crew. I mean, they're okay. They don't care about your sex. They don't care nothing about you, the boy going with the boy, the girl going with the girl. He even sweating his swatch. He even share each other sometimes. That's what we want. We want you to be confused about everything. You have your boyfriend over here. You have your girlfriend. Then you get together sometime. We don't care nothing about none of that because that don't really change anything. Because you don't put that on the board, too. You know what I'm saying? Because if that really changed anything and put you in control of anything, we wouldn't have no parts of that. We can't have no parts of that alphabet crew. But since it really doesn't run anything, gee willikers, be at it, buddy. Have your fun. Okay, Godreal, listeners, let's get busy studying the word of our Most High, which is more important than any constitution. Okay, chapter 25 in the book of Bereshit, the Hebrew name, not the Greek name, Genesis. Give you a few seconds to get there. You know, we're leading up to the point after Sarah died and was buried. And what did Abraham do? He didn't get caught up in morose and depression. He kept it moving, unlike some of us. We get caught up in morose and depression, clinical depression. But Abraham knew he had to keep moving. He had to keep doing. He had to keep doing what he was doing in a constructive and positive manner. So Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. And Katria and I talked today, and he pointed out something which I'm about to point out to you. I'm going to share it with you. Now, remember with Hagar, she had his firstborn, Ishmael. Then Sarah had his secondborn, who really became the firstborn, because the Most High said, you can't have children by other folks. That ain't how this operate. And so, by default, Isaac. And then Sarah had Isaac. But by this Keturah woman, I mean, he must have been filling his oats with her. You know how we call it. That boy filling his oats. Well, he apparently must have been filling his oats with Keturah. Because he had more children by Keturah than he had with Sarah and her. Hagar. Let us read. She bore him Zimran, Jehustan, Medan, Median, Asbak, Suor. He had six children. Let me count them. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, six children by that woman. Well, he's so filling himself with him, huh? And his son Jehoch begot Sheba and Dedan, relatives of ours. The descendants of Dedan were the Asherim and Lespusim and Elithim. And the descendants of Medan was Ephra, Inbak, Abida, and Elada. All these were the descendants of Keturah. Abraham willed that all he owned to Isaac. He gave everything he owned to Isaac, but nevertheless, he still looked after his kinfolk, unlike some of us who leave him broken, hopeless. But to Abraham's son by concubines, so obviously, Hagar had once been a concubine, and Keturah evidently must have been a concubine once. Abraham gave gifts while he was still living to his children. Not when he was dead. He gave everything to Isaac when he was dead, but he still gave all his children gifts while he was living. He sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. This is the total span of Abraham's life, 175 years. And Abraham breathed his last dying a good ripe old age, unlike some of us. Old and content, he was content. He was not morose or in clinical depression. He was content, and he was gathered to his kin, his own kind. His son Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephraim, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, facing Mamre, the field that Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife, whom he loved dearly. After the death of Abraham, Yah blessed his son, Isaac. And Isaac settled in Bahalah. This is the line of Ishmael, his firstborn, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian slave, bore to Abraham. These are the sons of Ishmael by their names, different nations. Arabic nation.
So, how many brothers did Isaac have?
Isaac had seven brothers in totality.
And how many brothers came to the father's funeral?
Only one, Ishmael.
Okay.
Yeah, but Ishmael honored his father. Even though he didn't get the firstborn latitude, because that was not proper, it was totally improper, he still loved his father and honored the procedure. That's my daddy. I don't know. I ain't trying to judge him. I still love him. He's still my daddy. And I'm going to go home with my brother Isaac. I'm going to bury our daddy. And that's what he did. Unlike some of us, he ain't did nothing for me. You know, he didn't gave my birthright to somebody. No, mm-mm. Ishmael appears to be a man of integrity, okay? No matter what you think of him, he still appears to be a man of integrity. And he came home to bury his daddy. And that was that on that, with his brother. He didn't come there to argue with his brother about birthrights. He came home to bury his daddy. I'm done with it, bro. Daddy want to give it to you. That's all right with me. I'm good with it. I'm cool. I'm all right. I ain't got no problem with you. But, his offspring certainly did. The Arabian nation. These were the sons of Ishmael by their names and order of their birth. Nebarak, the firstborn of Ishmael. Kedar. Man, my eyes.
You know what Kedar means?
Yeah, I studied it. Kedar. These are Arabic nations. Let me get this in. Because I looked over the names. They are Arabic nations. But let me pull it up right quick. La da da da. La da da da. Let me see. Put it in there right quick. I may still have it in there. There we go. La da da da. La da da da. Kedar, the Cordillera kingdom of Kedar, was largely nomadic, ancient Arab tribal confederation. Mm-hmm. And who is Kedar? What does Kedar mean? Dark one.
Means black.
Yeah, it said dark one. Black one.
Yeah.
Means dark. So the original Arabic people, not these lighter complexion guys, whom are mixtures of the origin, the originals. The original Aramaic people were, they look like us. Okay?
The Abraham's firstborn son.
Right. They look like us. They were dark, just like Isaac was. So not these lighter complexion who are mixed in with Greeks and whatnot. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the originals. All right, let's continue on.
And that's what Arab means, mixture.
Mixture. Mm-hmm.
Arab means mixture.
Mixture of the dark.
So when you say Arab, it ain't necessarily Ishmael.
Right. Okay. All right.
Because
so,
Ishmael's son was named Kedar, and it means black.
Yeah. Right. They was dark.
They say dark.
Right.
You look, some dictionaries, Kedar means black.
Right, black.
And he wasn't the first Kedar.
No.
The son of Shem was named Kedar.
Exactly.
And he was black, too.
Exactly. They look like us. The original.
They say Ham was cursed black, but we've seen his name Kedar keep coming up.
Exactly.
Son of Shem was named Kedar. Son of Ishmael's name is Kedar, and it means black.
Well, that's it. Somebody is lying, and it ain't the Most High.
We know who lies in the earth about history and archaeology and all that. We know the people that lie.
They finna get ready to lie in about 1 hour and 45 minutes. Meshant. Mishma. Domot. Massa. Hadad. Tima. Jethur. Phathis and Kathman. These are the sons of Ishmael. These are their names by their villages, by their encampments, 12 chieftains of many tribes. These were the years of the life of Ishmael. Ishmael lived to be 137 years old. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his kin. They dwelt from Hafla by Shur, which is close to Egypt, all the way to Ashur. They camped alongside all their kinsmen. This is the story of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took to wife Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac pleaded with the Elohim on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Elohim responded to his plea, and his wife Rebekah concede. But the children struggled in her womb. And she said, if so, why do I exist? And just like a good woman, she went to inquire of the Elohim. And the Elohim answered her. He says, two nations are in your womb. Two separate people issue from your body. One people will be mightier than the other. And the older should serve the younger. When the time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first one emerged red, like the hairy mantle all over. He was hairy. They named him Esau. When his brother emerged, holding on to the heel of Esau's feet, they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, and he still is. A man of the outdoors, but Jacob was a humble, mild-mannered man, just like Superman. Y'all think I'm playing? I ain't playing.
Being the mild-mannered reporter.
Right. Just like being mild-mannered and humble don't make you weak. You know, Isaac was still Superman. You're going to find this out as we keep studying. He was humble. He stayed within the, you know, he stayed in the camp. Isaac favored Esau. Isaac had love for Esau because Isaac had a taste for game. He liked wild game. But the mama, Rebecca, favored Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the open famished. And Esau said to Jacob, give me some of that red stuff to gulp down, for I'm famished. Which is why he was named Edom. It tells you something about him. He don't think. He has a one-track mind. He's not thinking about the future. He's in the moment. As long as he controls the elements of the moment, that's all he cares about. As long as I control the elements of the moment, as long as I deal with whatever my infatuation or taste of, that's all I'm worried about. I'm not worried about nothing else. You know, I don't care about nothing else. Give me some of that food. And Jacob said, okay, sell me your birthright. And Esau said, I'm at the point of death, man. I don't want to hear none of that. So what use is the birthright to me? I don't care nothing about none of that. But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank, and he rose and went away. He didn't have a care in the world. I don't care about none of that. Because he lives in the moment. You can see him universally speaking as I speak. They live in the moment. They don't care nothing about this, nothing, the other. Look at them. They don't care nothing about vision. They only care about what's in it for me. What about how I feel? That's their mindset. They're hairy. They're red. And they only care about their damn self. That ought to tell you something about Edom. And they ain't changed. I don't care what they told you. Thus did Esau spurn. He didn't care about the legitimacy of his birthright. Contrary, my dear friend, your commentary on subject matter.
He sold his birthright for some food.
Care about that. I don't care about no damn food. I don't care about no birthright, man. Give me that food. I only care about me. I'm in the moment.
They try to say that Jacob stole Esau's birthright. This don't sound like he stole it to me.
No. This was a legitimate purchase.
A legitimate purchase. Esau agreed, and he swore, and he made him swear, and he swore. So how is that stealing?
No.
Like, yo, I got this red potash here.
Right.
You hungry. You on the brink of death. And all I'm asking is for your birthright. I would have said, yo, wait a minute, Ock, you're my brother.
Yeah, man, don't be like that, player. Come on, bro. Don't do that, man.
I'm hungry. I'm about to die asking for my birthright.
Yeah, no, bro, you wrong for that. No, I'm going to go tear dad on you, man. I'm going to go tear dad on you right now. You wrong for that. You can get it from that food.
Tear dad on you right now.
I'm going.
He should have went to his mother and said, mama, you got some food I can eat? He's looking at his brother.
I'd have went to anybody in the camp. I went and told daddy on it. He said, you snitching. I said, I ain't snitching. I'm telling. It's a different. I'm telling you. I'm going to go tell it. Y'all, you ain't going to give me some of that food now. I'm hungry.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing.
Yo.
Our father Jacob could cook.
Man, he's a bad cook. We still can, brother. I can burn a little something.
I can burn a pot, too. Oh, no doubt. My lamb is famous, man.
Hey,
you going you gonna cook up some of that lamb?
And when I look around them parts, I want to see what you're working with, bro.
Oh yeah. My lamb is famous in New York, man.
But look here, I'm gonna try to hook up with Abby, y'all. We gonna come over there and see how you ran them parts, brother. If they ain't right, I'm gonna tell Abby, man. Abby, y'all. That boy need to keep on cooking.
You gonna sell me your birthright?
No, I bring the bread. I ain't selling nothing.
This guy sold his birthright for some of that food, baby.
Yeah, man. How shallow? How shallow are you to sell your birthright?
What good is my birthright gonna do me right now? I'm hungry.
That's how they are. They live in the moment, man. There's something about the character.
Jacob said no. You're not just getting this fool. You must swear. And when you swear, your word is your bond.
That's
you
it.
You just gave your word, huh?
Yeah, Esau knew that. I just swore before y'all. Hey, I can't even get out of this. You know what I mean? So your word, you be very careful.
But it was destiny, because the Most High told his mother, the younger shall rule the older. And you can see the young man, Jacob, he was on it. Like,
exactly.
I'm the younger. I was fighting my brother from birth to get this birthright because I should have been born first.
Exactly.
But no, you wasn't born first.
Exactly.
But now you're going to figure out a way to get that firstborn prize. And he did it. Sell your birthright to me, bro.
And
you hungry?
And it gives you the description as to what Esau looks like, but no description as to what Yaakov looked like. So Yaakov looked like his parents. So there was no reason for us to give a description about Yaakov, because he looked like both his parents. But Esau obviously didn't look like either one of his parents, but they know that he was him. He was red, and he was hairy. Mm-hmm. All right.
And he's the first one in scripture that's described as that.
Right.
Red and hairy.
Right.
But the fact is that Jacob got the blessing.
Exactly.
He didn't steal it. The Most High already told his mother he was going to get it, and he got it. And Esau realized that he made a mistake. Like, damn, I just sold my birthright for like a bowl of soup. Yeah, you sold your birthright for a bowl of soup. And ever since that time, you've been trying to get it back. But you swore.
That was a legitimate purchase, Contrail. You can't get that. That was a legitimate purchase. I mean,
but
you've
been trying to get it back. No.
You came in, I put it to you.
That deal is null and void, bro. That deal is null and void. Some soup for a birthright? No, I'm taking my birthright back. And that's what he's been doing ever since, trying to get it back.
Trying to get us. His offspring been trying to get at our offspring for the duration. Some of y'all don't get it. All right, Katria and study buddies. Let us go to Job. And he's still under attack by Satan. He still said the boy ain't got no skin in the game. You took all that stuff. You took all that other stuff, that insignificant stuff. You killed his shit and all that and whatnot. But he ain't got no skin in the game. You know, he put skin in the game. Then see what he going to do. Get there, and then we're going to get busy with our study. Thank you, Contrail, for your comments on Bereshit, 25th chapter.
So turn to,
thank you, brother. Turn to the second chapter of Job. Give you a few seconds to get there. And and we're going to get started. May the Most High bless you, listeners and study buddies, and bless you by the reading and investigatory studies, and most importantly, the application, applying his word to one's life. That's the important element of this. Well, a few more seconds for the slow ones. You know, you always got slow ones in the class. And we're going to go on. Again, there was a day when the sons of Yah came to present themselves before the Elohim. And Satan came also among them to present himself before Yah. He had to come. And Yah said to Satan, "From whence do you come?" Satan answered the Elohim and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth." I've been everywhere. I've been all over the place. I've been watching people. I've been investigating people. I've been writing down things on everybody. I've been doing my job.
You think his job has changed?
No, his job isn't there. He's still walking about, taking up information, intelligence report. He's still taking up intelligence report on all of us.
Oh, yeah.
He got one on me. He got one on you. He got one on Jerry. He got one on Abiyah. He got one on Ima Hadori. He got an intelligence report on everybody. And he goes up to Yah with a briefing.
What is he? But what is he?
He's a son of Yah. He's an angel of the Most High.
And what are we?
We are less than the sons of Yah. We are a little lower than the sons of Yah.
No. We are the sons of Yah too.
We are the sons of Yah. But not in their strength and not in their, not in the position where they can get about with them getting about doing the things that they do. But we still are the sons of Yah. Mm-hmm.
They are big brothers.
They are big brothers. Mm-hmm.
If they the sons of Yah, we the sons of Yah, they are big brothers.
Yeah, certainly are. They're the big brothers parallel to us. In a parallel
universe.
We
don't look at them that way. We don't see them that way. We see them detached from us.
No, they are.
Yah is the father.
No, they are.
And they are his sons, and we are his sons. They're just on a higher level than we are.
Right. They're on a higher level in a parallel universe, but they're still our brothers. And Satan is the district attorney on everybody. He's got an intelligence report on everybody. Then the Elohim says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant, Job? That there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears Yah and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. He didn't do no wrong." So Satan answered the Elohim and said, "Skin for skin. He ain't got no skin in the game. Yes, all that man has, he will give for his life. But that ain't his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Elohim said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand. You can do whatever you want to do to him, but you spare his life. Don't take his life." Satan went out from the presence of the Elohim and struck Job with painful boils. Have you ever had a boil? Man, I had one in my arm, man. Ooh-wee. Oh, Lord, that was painful. And I had to go to the emergency because it wasn't going away. And I had to go get the abscess removed so they lanced it. And a doctor, I was in the operation room, and And he had a scalpel, and he was just scraping his. I had to grab it. Hold on, man. What is you doing? I grabbed his hand. And the nurse said, let the doctor go. I said, hold on, lady. I ain't talking to you now. I said, what you doing, man? It's hurt, man. I know you done gave me a shot, but this you digging, man. It's hurt now. He said, I got to get the core out. I got to get the core out of there. If I don't get the core out, it's going to reinfect. So do you imagine how painful that felt? What I felt under my arm, this man is feeling all over his body. A ball is a painful situation. And I'm speaking from experience. And I'm talking about one. You imagine this man from head to toe, head to feet, to the bottom of his feet with balls. And guess what he did? From the sole of his foot, from the bottom of his foot to the top of his head, this man had, he took for himself a posture for which to scrape himself. Ooh, ooh, man, I know that hurt. Ooh, that hurt. I'm thinking about that boil on the mound. I know that had to hurt. And he sat in the midst of action. But then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Come on now, curse God and die. Curse Yah and die.
And he said, what kind of counsel is that?
But he's going to tell you what counsel was. He's going to tell you out of his own mouth. Let me answer what he said. He said, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from y'all? And shall we not accept adversity? You got to take the good with the bad. And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, when Job, three friends, I wish I had some friends, but they're going to get a little snazzy later on, friends like this.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because the Most High does good for us.
Right.
And we go through life.
Right.
And life is filled with adversity, right?
Right, it is. You got to accept the good with the bad, bro.
And it's not that the Most High is not with you. We're trying to hurt you.
Right.
You want to see how you deal with the adversity.
Exactly. You have to accept the good with the bad. Don't think every day gonna be rain, gonna be sunshine days. You're gonna get some rainy days.
But they say, can you stand the rain? No gain. Good. No pain.
Yeah.
No gain.
No pain. No gain. So you have to be, you. It's got to be part of your innate nature. You have to understand this. You got to be cognizant of this. I mean, and King Solomon said it. There's a time and place for everything. So with Yah, there's a time and place for everything. Don't think everything going to be hokadori. You're going to have some bad times. And accept it. And don't think you're any better than anyone. And don't think anyone is any better than you when they're having good times and you're having bad times and you're being giving them the evil eye. You're just having your bad times. They're having their good times. And sooner or later, they're going to have their bad times and you're going to bounce back. And if you don't bounce back, it don't matter because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't take the love of Yah away from you. And it shouldn't take your love of Yah away from you for him. Keep it moving. And we found out.
And in those times of adversity.
Exactly.
Come out your mouth.
Yeah,
don't ever curse God.
No, you better not. And we found that out with Abraham. When Yah took the love of his life away. He took the good with the bad. He kept it moving. He blessed Yah and kept it moving. You got to bless Yah, be thankful, be grateful, and keep it moving. It's just that simple. We make everything hard. Now, here's these friends come along. These are some good friends in some ways. Sometimes, some ways, you may consider them not to be. But I ain't too many friends going to do what these fellows did. Now, Zarkuv, three friends, heard of all his adversity. And they come upon him, each one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and so forth. Nephite. For they had made an appointment together. Excuse me. They had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar, they didn't even recognize him. He was so messed up with them boys. And they lifted their voice and wept because of the way he looked physically, the way he was distraught and sitting in ashes and boils from feet to head. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust over his head toward heaven. And they sat down with him on the ground. 7 days and seven nights, no one said a word, for they saw that his grief was very great. They didn't come like, unlike some. Well, see, you should have did that. You should have, hold on. They came and they were cognizant of what that man was feeling. Before they ran their mouth off, they sit there and grieve with it and try to comfort it. And loved on the brother, unlike some of us, who like to always show up with all the bright ideas. Instead of sometimes shutting your mouth and trying to comfort. Well, contrary of my brother and friend, what is your commentary?
Because instead of Eliphaz, the Temite was an Edomite.
Right. Uh-huh.
And trying to figure out the time zone that this man lived in.
Right. So, he said an Edomite?
Yeah, Eliphaz. The
okay.
Temanite.
Okay. Okay.
But, yeah, you can see that in the early days, they was family, they was cousins.
Right.
And there was no bitterness between them. These
right.
guys are his friends.
Right. It wasn't like they had to digress to. it's quite different, then.
And like you said, these guys are true friends.
True friends.
He's a true friend. He's like in a bad situation. He ain't got what he had. He got boils all over him.
Mm-hmm.
They're not laughing at him. They're not scorning
mm-hmm.
him. They're not pointing
mm-hmm.
their finger at him.
Mm-hmm.
They tore their clothes and they started mourning for him. That's a true friend.
Mm-hmm. Like, true friend.
My friends feel for me and my adversity that I'm going through.
Exactly.
But it don't last for long because they turned on them.
They turned on them real quick. That only lasted.
All kind of stupid questions.
Yeah, that only lasted. You had to do something. You know you done something. Now, come on, come clean. Come clean now. That's the only way you can get out of this situation. Y'all
and
will find
anybody
out.
In a bad situation, it doesn't mean that they did something wrong.
Bingo. Bingo. Good thing.
So we judge our brothers and sisters in prison, and we like,
right.
yo, you had to do something wrong in order
not
for you to be in prison. No, not
necessarily. No.
Right? So.
Not necessarily. That, and that don't make them bad people.
That's right.
I've been in them places that I call them four-star hotels with no good service. Four-star hotel with bars. Four stars with bars and no good service. I've been there.
Well, you know our enemies will throw us there in a minute.
Man, in a Texas heartbeat. Come on,
yep.
now. And only by the Most High that I'm not there now. That the Most High gave me a new thinker. And I started thinking differently. But even that being said, Trill, did you know when I retired, even that being said, getting in, living a check and pass, I still had 29 years of work history. Just imagine if I didn't live that check and pass. When I retired, I probably would have had close to about 40 years of work. Close to, because, you know, I started working at 17. You know, I went in the Marine Corps. So I would have had about 40-something years if I'd have kept on the straight and narrow. But all praises to the Most High, here I am. And there go I. So, no, I don't look down on my brothers and sisters in that situation. You know, there's good men. Bad thing happen to good people. That don't necessitate the fact that they're bad. You know, things just happen.
Joseph got thrown in prison, didn't he?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He wasn't a criminal.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody lied on him.
Well, I probably been locked up with Joseph Cain then, but they probably didn't, lie on me. Your name Joseph. He said, yeah. Yeah, I heard about you, man. Yeah. But I did what I did, Joe. But I ain't mad at you, but I hope you get on out of here, Joseph. I heard you're a good fella, man. You stay safe and stay up. Stay away from these folks, right? It ain't right. Don't even believe me, okay? Because I know I ain't right. My thinker broke. All right, y'all.
Well, when I was growing up,
right?
The brothers on the street, they thought it was a badge of honor to go to jail.
Yeah, I did too.
I did my bid.
Yeah.
I did my bid.
Cartrell, when your thinker is broken, I mean, you lie, my brother, but you're right. You lie, but you're right. Because our thinkers, we're broken people, Cartrell.
Yeah, they were proud of doing a bid.
Right.
And if you ain't did a bid, you ain't a tough guy. No, my brother, I don't need to do a bid to be a tough guy.
Yeah, and you're right, Cartrell. I was just a tough fool. Cadrell, I was just a tough fool. And I thank the Most High for bringing me through it all. And yeah, because our thinkers are broken, we think that's supposed to be something nice. And Cadrell ain't lying. Listeners, he is not lying. We're broken people with broken thinkers.
It's so sad, my brother. So sad.
It was in my case.
Huh?
It is. And it was in my case.
Because we're so much better than that.
Yeah.
And we need to tap into our roots and to the blessing that Yah has given us as a people, like no other people.
Exactly. But see, when you don't know Cartrell, and your finger's broken, and they said, hey, you guys ain't nothing. You women ain't nothing. You ain't nothing but hoes. You ain't gonna never be nothing. Go on strip, go on twerk it, go on work it. Y'all gonna get locked up, sell all that dope, pimp on your women, rob from each other. Just do the worst you can. And if you don't know y'all, that's what you do.
So we here trying to find y'all through his word, through his prophet, through his writing. And you know what, Brother Yam Suf?
What's that, my brother?
Everybody we know should be on this show trying to get some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Truth be told,
everybody we know.
They actually would, Cartrell, because they would have a chance to speak with an ex-fool whom the Most High has took mercy on, whom have humbled himself before the Most High, whom have become, I like to believe, better because of my relationship and interaction with the Most High and application of his word. So you would get a bird's eye view, speaking from an ex-fool. You would have a chance to talk to an ex-fool. Hey, ex-fool, that's okay. I ain't mad at you. What made you change? I said, well, the Most High put me in a position. And then I had no other alternative. Now, I had other alternative. I could have went worse, or I could have heeded the Most High. So I chose to heed the Most High, and things got better for me. And then, do I have good times all the time? No, it don't work that way. No, it don't work that way. Everything gonna be hokadori for you. No. I just accept the fact that Yah is Yah, he's my Elohim, and he has certain requirements that are expectation, but there is no guarantee that everything gonna be singing through the rain. Okay.
And I bring it in the perspective of martial arts. So me and my son, we study martial arts style called V75. And in V75, you had to go to class. And in these classes, we had to do the white belt, we had to do the yellow belt, we had to do the red, green belt, brown belt, purple belt, all the way up to the rank that we was. We made it to the brown belt 3, which is 1 degree short of a black belt. So every time we came to class, we had to start at the white belt, yellow belt, green belt, brown belt, purple belt. We had to go through the ranks every time. And I'm sure that most Israelites walking around in this captivity that we're in has never studied this word like we're studying it now. And it's redundant. We're doing it chapter by chapter. But trust me, we haven't done enough because we have to go back over in redundancy in order to really understand what the Most High is talking about. Because we've read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. I'm sure you cannot recall everything that we read in those books. I'm sure you can. But there was so much potency in the words that the Most High gave us through those prophets that we read, that most of our people have not read, and, you know,
well,
we think that we have enough information, knowledge, and understanding not to be going through this over and over again. But trust me, I know this stuff, and I'm going through it over again because there's something I miss, something I need to, like, be enlightened on, and I'm going to continue going over it and over it and over it so I can get a complete understanding of what it is that Yah is trying to, his message to us is.
Right, because every time you go over some country, you pick up kernels for things. You retain some things and you drop some things. So that's why it's incumbent and imperative that we do these things over and over and over again.
And with each other, because you see it from different angles, different perspectives, different mindsets. Because I know how I see it, but how do you see it? I don't see it the same way you see it. And maybe you could show me something from your angle, your perspective, that I didn't see.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about, Contra. And that's why these study sessions are imperative. And it's imperative to do them together. Because you could miss out on something. And I do often miss out on something. You have to point it out to me. And I like to believe that I'm pointing out something to you sometimes.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Contra, my brother and friend, I know you have a lovely song for us, but I know after this, and we're meditative after we get out of these studies, I had to go watch Two Fools today to understand what I need to pray about. Okay, Katria, I had to go watch Two Fools talk to know what I need to pray about.
Yeah, man, and that should be very interesting. You guys trying to get leadership for a country that's doomed. So we're going to read Psalm 65. Another beautiful song from our King, King David. It's a praise to Elohim for his salvation and providence. I got to look up that word, providence. But I'm sure it means protection, security, goodwill.
Yeah, you want to look at the word providence.
Providence.
Okay, hold
on. Praise to Elohim for salvation and providence.
Okay, wait just 1 second before you get started there. Let me speak into my phone right quick. And we will find out the meaning of the word.
Well, you could actually break the word down. Providence. He provides. Go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Providence.
Here's the definition of providence. The protective care of God or of nature is a spiritual power.
Okay. Did you hear that, Gabriel? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, y'all. Thank you, Katria. We are all ears, my brother.
Siri is pretty sharp, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Praise is awaiting you, O Elohim, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. And many of our people have come off the Day of Atonement, hoping that the Most High takes away our transgressions. And we pray that the Most High leads us in the path of righteousness and takes away our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. But we know that the Most High already said that he would do this. But he's going to do that, but we have to perform our vow.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Well, we know where that holy temple is, right? It's coming from the sky because it's already built. And y'all going to place it on this foundation in Jerusalem. But we have to be worthy to even enter that place, don't we?
Exactly.
By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O Elohim, of our salvation. So we have to speak to Yah in order for him to answer us. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also will dwell in the farthest parts, are afraid of your signs. You will make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of Elohim is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle the furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your path drip with abundance. They drip on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are closed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. So we talk about inanimate things that we think have no voice or connection with the Most High. We're talking about the furrows, and we talk about the paths and the pastures and the wilderness and the hills and the pastures and the flocks and the valleys that have a connection with Yah. Unfortunately, we pollute it, we destroy it, and we don't see the spiritual connection in the creation with these things that Yah has created that we think are inanimate and we take for granted. But just like the animals, the birds, the bees, and the insects have a connection with Yah, so do the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the streams, the lakes, the ponds. They all have a connection with Yah that we can't see, we don't understand. But he understands, they understand, and one day we will understand that everything Yah has created is not necessarily object. Because didn't Moses speak to the rock?
Exactly.
And what happened when he spoke to the rock?
The rock brought forth water.
It brought forth water. Mm-hmm. Moses said, bring forth water, rock. And guess what the rock did?
Well, the rock said, like Rita Franklin, rock steady, baby. The rock brought forth water. Rock steady, baby. Like Rita Franklin.
So the rock heard what Moses was talking about and responded to him, huh? But we don't think the rock got ears and can hear.
Exactly.
We think that mucks is crazy when they go into the woods and meditate, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know George Washington Carver? You heard of him?
Yeah.
And you know what he told the white people?
What's that, brother?
He said, I go out to the field. I go out there and meditate. And the plants talk to me.
I believe they did.
Yeah, they did.
He understood it. You know what? You know, Cartrell, I've never been bitten by an animal. I'll tell you, me and animals have a kindred spirit. I'm not an animal, but I can relate to them. They know, I mean them no ill will. I respect them as such. I don't abuse or mistreat an animal. And that's why I told you, I like to feel. I love to feel. But I like animals. I like animals. Mm-hmm.
Well, me and mosquitoes got problems.
Well, no, I ain't talking
me
about them.
Me and flies
No, I ain't talking about no
me
insects.
Me and got problems. I ain't never been stung by no bee.
No.
We went to Washington, and there was a bush full of wasps. and somebody hit the bush, and these wasps came up, but ain't none of them stung any of us.
Right.
So I'm so thankful I never been stung by a bee or stung by a wasp or stung by a hornet.
Yeah, I have, my brother.
I got problems with mosquitoes. I got problems with flies. I got problems with gnats. But they all y'all's creation.
Yeah, I got a problem with cockroaches. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I got a problem with cockroaches. Yeah.
I don't want y'all in my house.
No.
But anyway y'all want. Cockroaches in my house.
And spiders. Yeah, this ain't the whole thing. You can't come up here. Because me and you going to have a fight for life or death. Y'all come up here.
No, no. You know you're not supposed to fight no spider, man. You know a spider saved King David, right?
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm glad for the king. I love the king. I'm glad for the king. But the king come up here.
Spider saved the king, man. Spider saved the king. Because King Saul was looking for King David.
Right.
And he was looking for him in a cave.
Right. I remember. And he came in
king
and pee.
David, huh?
I think he came in and take a pee in the cave.
King David was in the cave, in the deep part of the cave.
Right.
But King Saul saw a spider web and figured that he can't be in the cave because that spider web is there. He would have broke the spider web if he was inside the cave. So
exactly.
The spider built the web. King Saul didn't think that King David was in the cave, which he was.
Right.
And the spider saved King David's life. But, and you know, spiders kill other insects, right? They kill roaches and...
Yeah. But they ain't got to worry about that. They ain't got to worry about that. They ain't got to come in here. But I'll take care of them, too.
Nah, don't kill no spiders, man. Don't kill no spiders.
Hey, bro, I can't promise that, Katria. I can't promise you that, bro. I cannot take an oath on that, Katria. Katria, I would have let it slid. But, you know, I stay in a rural area. I would have let it slid. But every night it seemed like one was running around here, scaring around. That's all. Is it gonna be like that? And after that, I said, "Yeah, y'all can't do that here." And I had to do what I had to do, bro. I said, "Y'all, every time I turn around, you're running, y'all scaring around here, man. No, yeah, no, y'all can't stay here. Y'all come visit, but you can't stay." And now I think the word is out. Don't go in there. That man crazy. He a kid.
I don't blame you, bro.
And them flies, they already know. They say, man, you know that fool crazy, though. You know that fool is in Olaka.
Yeah, me and flies definitely don't get along, son.
Yeah. And
I
roaches.
Hate flies.
And roaches are already know. Negroes and flies. I do despise the walkie dead Negroes. Cottrell, and roaches already know they don't even make the tip. They said, man, the roaches tell them flies and them spider, hey, man, I could have told you that food don't like us. Y'all should have asked me. Y'all go in. I had many relatives go up in there. They ain't never come back out. You know, so, man, y'all going in at your own risk, man. The dude ain't going to let y'all survive up in there, man. Okay? I'm telling you that. Y'all should have asked me.
But let me tell you something, man.
Yo, Cardrell.
Insects will chase you out your house.
Yeah, they will.
You cannot contain them.
if you let an infestation get in here, and they think they live there, bro, you got problems. you got problems. They think they walk around and walk past you like they paying rent up in here. And they ain't never brought no check to me. Walk back there, look at me. What you looking at? I said, hey, stay right there. Don't go nowhere. I'm going to show you what I'm looking at. Hell, are you looking at me for? No. Y'all got to roll, man. Now, I don't know what y'all on, but y'all got to get up out of here, okay?
Yeah, I'm so.
Yo.
My wife and I bought a condo, condominium here in Mount Vernon.
Right.
And the place was infested with roaches. These roaches would drop off the ceiling. Oh,
man, yo.
Onto the dinner table.
Oh.
Like, yo, we got to get up out of here. They was dive bombing off the ceiling. I never seen a roach just drop down and spread its wings and just drop down on you. It's like, this shit is, this is crazy.
How long did you and your wife stay there, Katya?
Maybe about 2 years.
I don't know how y'all did it, man. Y'all was some soldiers. Because I'd have got me a tent and slept outside, man. No, I can't tell you, man.
Yo.
Hey, Katya, the roach was
on the table. They come out of nowhere, up in your plate. I'm like, we got to get out of here.
Be crying, Katya.
You walk out the apartment, and they diving off the walls in the hallway. He's like, oh.
Cadrilla. They'd have been at the door. Hey, man, what you doing out in that tent? You will come on in tonight? Y'all got it, man. Y'all had that spot.
Straight up, no, man. They chased us out of there. No doubt.
Yeah.
The roaches chased us out of there.
When y'all got y'all other spot, it was like heaven won the Cadrilla.
Man, I lost my investment. I lost my money. I couldn't sell it. It was a nightmare.
What? How come you couldn't sell it, Katya?
Nobody wanted to buy it.
So the word was out.
Huh?
The word was out on that app.
Yep, and wound up going into foreclosure.
Oh man. Ooh boy. Well, okay. Like we just read about, Katya, from y'all, you got to accept the good with the bad.
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? It's true.
But I admire insects.
Yeah.
How much bigger are you than an insect?
And they determined. And they were determined. I know you use all kind of ingredients to get rid of them. But they you use all kind of cocktail. You come and they sit at the dining room table with a little cocktail. Katya, you going to mix up some more of that juice?
Yo, the Orkin man didn't have nothing on them roaches, man. The Orkin man.
He couldn't get rid of them.
Not at all. Not at all. Because it was really the whole building.
Oh.
You clean my apartment, they run into the next apartment. Once them fumes is gone, they coming right back.
Oh, man.
And if the person next door is not getting their apartment fumigated, then we still got a problem.
Roaches
exactly. Diving off the ceiling, man. I'm like, what the heck?
Hey, y'all. Hey, steady.
Bombing into my food.
Steady brothers and sisters, I know you're here with Cadrell, and I talk about it because we're familiar with roaches. You know, I grew up around roaches, and I can tell you this. It makes you seem sometimes that you come home, they sit up there with cocktail glasses drinking that stuff. Hey, Cadrell. Yeah, I'm Sue. Fix me up some more of that juice you had in there. That was nice, man. Fix us some more, man. We have cocktails with that. And how about fixing something to eat while we drink our cocktails?
Yeah, man.
I'm telling you.
While I go get my cans of Raid.
I bet you and your wife are sleeping under the covers. Y'all, and I mean, literally mean under the covers. I mean, pour it over your head.
Yeah, man. Imagine a roach crawling on you.
Ooh, stop it, man. Stop it. Ooh, stop it. Oh, man, stop it.
And she's pregnant with an egg.
Ooh, stop it, man. Stop it. Oh, Lord. I had my one of my brothers, we had an infection. He had got one in his ear. And he had to go. He didn't know what was causing the headaches. I think mommy ended up taking him to the doctor and flushed his ear out. It was a roach, man.
Oh, man.
Oh. Got in his ear. Man, I can't stand him. Can't stand him, man. When I see one, I ain't no hesitation or reservation. I'm on it.
My grandmother,
used to smash them with her bare hands.
Oh, I ain't going that far. No, I ain't going that far.
She said, I'm going to smash it with a bad hand.
I don't want no sandwich, Grandma. That's all right. Don't give me no sandwich no more when I come
My
over here.
My grandmother would smash roaches with her hand.
Whoa, I can't do it.
Yeah. She had more heart than me and you too, brother. I got to find me a shoe, a cloth, a piece of paper, something. Grandma smashing them with her hand, son. As soon as she see them, pow.
Was she in her own house? Was she were y'all visiting your grandmother's house?
We lived with her for a little while.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And now she smashed some roaches right on the wall with her hand. Like now.
She was a soldier, didn't she?
Huh?
She was a soldier.
Oh yeah.
Yum Su could have did it though.
She had more heart than most brothers I know, son. I know brothers ain't gonna smash no bush with their hands.
No, I ain't gonna do that now. Yum Su can't do that. I'll step on them, but I ain't smashing with my hand. Mm-mm. I'd knock a fly at the sky. You know what I mean? I'd knock a fly at the sky and stun it, then I'd step on it. You know, I'd catch him in my hand. I'd do a Bruce Lee and catch him. Boom! And slam him on the ground and step on him. You know what I mean?
A roach, a fly is just as nasty as a roach. Maybe even more nasty.
Maybe because they got wings.
Roach got wings? What you talking about?
Yeah, and I've seen some glide down on you too.
Oh,
like stock bugs.
Talking about dive bombing off the ceiling, man.
Yeah.
Roaches dive bombing off the ceiling. Can you imagine? And your food. Like,
I know you're glad to get out of there.
Yo, you couldn't get out fast enough, bro.
True be told. All right, Kashri.
We gotta make sure we ain't take none with us when we left.
Y'all didn't want none of that furniture.
Oh, no.
Because you know
everything. German cockroaches. Bold as hell.
All right, Kashri. All right, listeners. Y'all have heard enough about roaches. Y'all know we can't stand them. That being said, Kadri, what's your closing remarks on our study session for today?
I want to give praise and thanks to the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and enlightenment and allowing us to go through, peruse his holy scripture to find out his message to us. And his message is clear. He's telling us what's wrong with us, and he's telling us what we need to do to fix ourselves. I just pray and hope that the antidote, the message that Yah has for us to fix ourselves, to realign ourselves with him, is penetrating the minds and hearts of our people. Because it's not about, you know, how smart you are, but it's about the spiritual connection that we're trying to make with our Creator before he pours out his wrath on mankind, because we know that mankind is wicked as hell. And
true,
we don't want to be a part of that judgment. So I just pray that we hear the message that Yah is bringing us and that we look out for each other, which reminds me of the go give.
Yeah, go give.
We need to, help each other, build each other up.
Yes, go give, brothers and sisters. If you don't have anything that's constructive and a positive in your life, here's something constructive and a positive. Go give. And then make your application under the Real Talk for Real People show. And show the love and continue it, and love be shown back to you. The more you give, the more you get.
GoGive.social.
Right, GoGive.social. Well, I have to concur with Cartrell, and I have to piggyback on what he said. And therefore, I don't need to say any more. But most importantly, in these study sessions, these investigatory study sessions, let's not study for the simple sake of a warm, fuzzy feeling. But not simply to act like we know it all, but to apply it all in one's life. That is the essence of your studies. And you, when you're redundant in your studies and you apply your study, you become a proficient master at what you're doing. as George Washington Carver did. He came proficient in the mastery of the peanut because he meditated on it and he made the application. As you must meditate on the word of Yah, your Elohim, and master it and become proficient in it by the application of it. Well, we don't know where y'all going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, other fellow study buddy and sisters. May the Most High bless you. Let your steps be directed and ordered. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. We love you. Be blessed. And love one another. May the Most High bless you. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Yasu.
Thank you very much, brother. Shalom.
Hello.
We're broken people now. We're burning now. So cold and bleeding now, now, now. Gonna let you down. We're broken people. I won't never be nothing, ain't that something? I've risen from the bottom, I got them eyes on the prize, and inside them, damn right I overcame. Y'all know the name, we similar but never been the same. Everybody, yeah, they know the name, right now. I'ma make it somehow, make it some way. Yeah, you know we gon' get it today, like I'm all on my own now. I won't ever let you down, won't let you down,
down, down.
Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is me.
We're broken people now.
Giving it every part of myself on the real, you would think I'd be asthmatic. Allergic to your bullshit, yeah, that's right, I done had it. Real all the time, if you rep it, get it, cat it right now. It's right here, a vibe right now. I am too alive right now, I'm alive right now. Come on, feel the vibe right now. Feel the vibe. Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is me.
We're broken people now. We are.